Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Let's start with coaching staff.
Yeah.
How do you feel that, you know, Bobby has kind of taken the reins here, and have you made a decision on who's going to call plays yet?
No decision on who's calling plays. Bobby's done a phenomenal job. He's a go-getter, and that was part of the reason for the hire, and I'm able to oversee it from a 10,000-foot view, but I'll tell you what, he's off to a great start. The staff is coming together. I think we had more new faces on that side of the ball this year, and like the staff we put together, and they're working hard, and they've been out, you know, now with the draft, they're out on some of these college workouts, and then I thought the collaboration between the coaching staff and the personnel department and free agency was also at a high level, and that's not always the case, especially when you have some new faces in the room. Hard. Yeah, I mean, those, you don't replace people like that. You know, they were the pillars of us getting this culture changed in the right direction and laying that foundation. And when you go 17 years not making the playoffs, you bring in players and people like the ones you mentioned, and they made a huge impact on our organization, on the field, but also off the field, and their leadership, I think, will be felt for years to come.
With the injuries, and he was your first draft pick, is there any a little harder to kind of have that? Have you talked to him, like, to go through that?
Oh, it's listen. We're all human, right? And I know sometimes when you put on the helmet or you hang the whistle around your neck, people think that you're not human, or they forget that element, right? But these are real people with real challenges and families behind them as well. And you don't take that lightly. And what Trey has been through and how hard he's worked to get back, in particular after the first situation, the first injury, and now watching him work coming off of the Achilles, there's nobody that works harder than Tre'Davious White, and it's been a real honor to coach him. It really has.
I'm going to ask you. You signed Curtis Samuel to add to that group. Everyone kind of believes you still got to add a receiver in the draft. How important is it to give Josh more and more weapons? Because some people will say you're set right now with what you got in the room, but you feel like you need to give him as many options as possible?
I think we're a work in progress roster-wise. I think, you know, when you look at it, most people are. We've had to let a number of players go. So I think we're, you know, working on putting this thing together. And, you know, Curtis Samuel, a good addition, and, you know, certainly has the speed you're looking for and the ability to maybe to line up in different spots. We'll see. I mean, look, at the end of the day, you got to go through the process, right? You've got to put the work in. That's what you do this time of year. And if you don't, this league will humble you. And, you know, we've been fortunate to, you know, have success. That said, we're not content with, you know, being where we are. And you've constantly got to reinvent yourself, evolve, both schematically, roster-wise, trying to stay ahead of it, right? When people want you to zig, you zag, and I think that's the importance of evolving in this situation.
Sean, with the defensive play calling, how do you go about making that decision since Bobby hasn't done it before, and what does your timeline look for that? I mean, do you want to have that in place by the end of the spring before camp? Can you take it into camp? Like, what does your timeline look like?
You know, we'll see. I'm not in a hurry, really, Jay, on it. There's so much between now and then in terms of building the scheme, like I mentioned, and outlining and focusing on areas that we need to emphasize for us to improve and, again, stay ahead of things, offensive trends around the league, offensive personnel, getting our defensive personnel, building our defensive roster. That's a work in progress. So there's a lot between now and then. And, you know, I'll know when it's time. And, you know, we'll certainly do it. You watch us practice, right? We'll certainly take our time through that and make sure we have enough of those call-up periods where I can take a look at it and see how it goes.
Edwards and Austin Johnson specifically, those two guys, could they...
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with Mike. You know, Mike's been on two different teams now. This will be his third, and he's been primarily a backup at those teams, although he has started some games. And when I've seen him start, I've been intrigued, right, by the way he plays, his style of play, the systems he's been around. When you look at being around a Todd Bowles system a little bit and then being around Spags' system, and you know, those are some of what we do and where I've come from with Spags in particular. So you know, the ability to blitz, the ability to play down low, the ability then also to play in the deep half and the post at times, that flexibility, if you will, is desirable. And I'm anxious to see how he fits into what we do, and enjoyed our time with Mike when he visited, and I think that interaction was positive as well.
Just go off on him again.
Austin, again, he's been traveled around a little bit with Tennessee, then New York, and then L.A., and I may have missed a stop in there, but I think I got them all. But, you know, the person, I didn't have a chance to meet Austin. I was out of the office that day, but the person that I've heard about is to me what's desirable to start off with, right? The type of person he is, the type of professional he is, and Daquan has a good relationship with him, and obviously going back to Penn State there. So, you know, again, just seeing how it all comes together. We've got to put the work in, and you know, we're going to have a number of new faces, and some veteran, some young, and I think that's the key, is just seeing how it comes together.
Sean, a lot of teams have had safety turnover this offseason, including your team. How much different is the X's and O's and schematic, how the game has changed, even in the last 5-6 years with two high safeties and split safeties, and how roster construction has to be thought about, how guys have to fit in differently now?
Well, again, that's what I was mentioning with some of the game and how it changes. It's changing offensively, right? You're seeing splits. They're seeing two high safety looks, you know, and so what I'm not going to say everything. Just from a strategy standpoint. But the game, it's like wearing corduroys. Every couple of years, it's like, are corduroys in or are they not, right? And so you always want to be wearing corduroys when they're in and not when they're in, not when they're not. Or actually, you should be wearing them when they're not in, right, to really be ahead of the curve, right? So I think that's kind of what we want to do. And we have to make sure we do that, both roster-wise and schematics as well. So I think that's where you find advantages. The margins are so small in this league that you've got to be, again, as I said earlier, when people are expecting you to zig, you've got to zag, and vice versa. So, again, that's, we just got to be ahead of that.
Is that the same thing when it comes to offense, where all these athletes were on the field, they got smaller, so now offenses are going bigger and running the ball a little bit more than we've seen in the last few years?
Yeah, I mean, that's some of what I was referring to, just, you know, the too high safety looks. People want to stop big plays and
keep everything in front. I got you.
Yeah. I don't know. I got a pair always in my closet.
With Joe Brady, things have been able to kind of maybe slow down for him a little bit over the last couple of weeks, months. What have you seen from him in terms of maybe putting his own stamp on the offense? Brandon mentioned yesterday that, you know, in the conversations about Curtis Samuel, he really stepped up and took some ownership there and advocated for that signing. How have you seen him kind of put his stamp and maybe some, not to get into schematics, but maybe changing the offense a little bit and a little bit more of his image?
Well, time allows you to do that, right? So I thought Joe picked up the torch during the season in a great way, in terms of didn't waste a lot of time, got right to work, collaboration, communication, all the necessary things you have to put together a good game plan and execute at a high level. And then now he has a chance, as you alluded to kind of take a deep breath and reset things and get them the way he wants them to be, whether it's terminology, whether it's some of the system in terms of volume, growing it, tightening it down. We added RC, as you're aware, and I enjoyed watching those two work together, and some of the what they knew that they did before together in New Orleans, and then also some of what they've learned separate of one another and blending some of those ideas. So again, the collaboration on the staff, the coaching staff, this offseason has been very impressive. And really, for Joe, it's getting it the way he wants it to be and look, and you know, that's, we're all teachers at the end of the day. So you can have the best playbook in the world in your office, but when you bring out your playbook, you got to be able to teach it. Not only teach it to the players, but teach it first and foremost to your staff, so that they can teach it. So I think all that's important.
Share a few thoughts on the proposed kickoff situation. What went through your mind as you were going through all that?
Well, the two biggest things, I think that we've got to be aware of and find solutions for are some of the injury data that's coming off of that play, and then let's be honest, fans want to see an exciting play, right? We have an exciting game. To me, the most exciting game out there, and we've got to keep it that way. And so in order to do that, you want returns to be back in the game. The returns dipped significantly this year, and that's not, they become dead plays. So those plays need to happen in an exciting way, at least for a significant amount of the time. And so that's, to me, the direction that we're trying to head. And those two areas were kind of the hot spots in my mind, and that's what, to me, the proposal helps to solve. I'm not sitting here and saying it's the only solution, but I think, again, as we evolve as a league, it's our job to evolve, yes, but also be guardians of the game. And I spoke with Bill Polian about that, and he was a former committee member, one of the original committee members, and that's what he shared with me. And I think it's important for kind of the forefathers of the game to, when they look down and say, hey, I recognize this game, or at least the structure of the game. Yes, it's evolving. We're doing things right. all that being said, we've got to keep, to me, the shape and the form and the structure of what the game has always been, and I think that's important for us.
How you would pick on the coverage team for kickoff and your blocking team on kickoff. How does this, if it goes through, how does this change the guys you might have to pick to play those roles, right? It's got to be, I would think it would be different athletes, right?
Well, not totally, but it's going to blend a little bit, yes. So there is a personnel mechanism to all of this, just like anything, right? Any rule change, you've got to be aware of that. But in this case, then you're going to find some different types of personnel now making teams, or more of a certain type of, you know, personnel, body weight, size, whatever it is, speed, making your team if this goes through.
How do you balance?
Committee, the last time we talked to you about it, you were still getting your feet wet, kind of seeing like the group dynamics and everything. How are you liking it now?
I've enjoyed it, thoroughly enjoyed it. It's been a great experience. My first year on it, appreciate the guidance that I've been given in the room of how things work. And I've tried to, you know, do a lot of listening and yet add my opinion on things where it's been called for. And, you know, listen, we've got a lot of great ambassadors for the game in that room, people that have been in that room a lot longer than I have, ownership-wise, at the league office-wise, as well as Mike Tomlin, who's been in that room for now 10 years. So, but I've found my place in that. I've found my role, and I appreciate how they value what I've brought to the table. And it's been great conversation in there. It really has. I just feel like, you know, to be honest with you, a lot of people say, hey, that's a lot of time, and it is a lot of time. But I think it helps me also in the job that I'm currently in be a better head coach, because the information that you're around in those meetings. I mean, we've had probably 12 to or more meetings leading up to the meetings here. And so most of the information I'm hearing, or we're hearing here, I've already heard it a couple times. So that's a benefit to me.
That said, you probably have a unique perspective of the hip drop tackle because of your background. And from a defensive player standpoint, the NFLPA comes out. How do you balance? You definitely want to keep it safe, but this is also football, right?
Yeah, again, it's trying to see things through the eyes or the lens of what's best for the league, what's best for the game, and not just what's best for the Buffalo Bills or what's best for defense versus offense. And again, I think it's trying to keep a balance and find that delicate balance, if you will, of where we need to land on things. And there's been a lot of talk about the hip drop tackle. It's at the end of the day, we've got to do what's best for the game and keeps the players as safe as possible. And there's two sides to that argument in this case. So we'll see where it goes.
You have a young quarterback. What can you do to best put them in a position to succeed early?
You know, I get that question a lot just because of how we've handled Josh. And I would just say I think the biggest thing you've got to do is have a plan that's well thought out ahead of time before you even bring that player into the building. You know, we've been successful at doing that when we drafted Josh, and even before we drafted Josh, and bringing that player along, not just on the field but off the field as well, and all the resources that you put into, you know, that one player in particular. And I think that's the key is having a good, well thought out plan. And I was able to benefit by being around Andy and watching him do that with Donovan, and then in Carolina drafting Cam and watching that process, and then now with Josh. And so some of what we did and have done with Josh in that capacity is what I learned from Andy and being in Carolina with Cam.
Sean, what are the 49ers getting in Leonard Floyd?
Oh, one of my guys right there. Yeah, it's unfortunate we couldn't bring him back. I mean, you're talking about, you know, what do you have, 10 sacks last year or somewhere thereabouts, and tough, loves to play the game. That's been they've done a great job of rebuilding that defensive line, and it'll be a great addition for them. We'll miss him.
Sean, when people talk,
how different is it going to be, or even odd, coaching in the division without Bill Belichick there?
Yeah, I mean, what an honor it was to coach against Coach Belichick. you know, one of the greatest of all time. And you're used to seeing him on that sideline in those colors, and he made it hard on all of us. Every coach that was on that other sideline, he made it hard. He made you be at your best, and when you're having to work in that capacity, you're learning things. And I think when he's made the league better, he's made us better as coaches, and he'll be missed. So I'm sure he'll be watching and seeing how the season unfolds.
Are you expecting much different with Gerard at the helm, even given he kind of learned under Bill?
Well, I'm sure when you learn under someone like all of us, you're going to have some of that fabric in and bring some of that fabric to the table in terms of what you're trying to do and how you're trying to do it.
Sure. Sean, go ahead.
Regarding Leonard Floyd, you do a Google search, Leonard Floyd and relentless, and like six coaches throughout his career say he's relentless, you know, some version of that. Is he unique as far as his motor?
I don't know if he's unique as far as his motor, but he certainly has a motor. Yeah. And when I say that, I mean, that's some of what you look for, right? I mean, he may not be the biggest guy, and that works to his advantage in terms of rushing the passer, but he's just as tough as the biggest guys out there, and just as durable. I mean, he played last year with some bumps and bruises, and he didn't complain about it. He's a warrior.
Tell us why you're...
Aaron Donald retiring, Sean, speaking of pass rushers, just what do you remember about not only game planning for him, but obviously the impact that he had with him?
Well, he's a former wrestler. That's what I love about him. Going against him, I hated going against him because he can wreck a game plan. When you watch that's what an elite three technique does, is he makes you game plan for him. He makes those around him better, because when the protection's going to him, other guys are being productive. And so what a great career. Super proud of him and the way he's handled himself. And, you know, for him to get a ring is special, and he capped a heck of a career.
Sean, tell us about – go ahead.
We talked to AJ after the season. He sounded like somebody who didn't know what was going to happen. And now he's – when we talked to AJ Epinesa after the season, he kind of talked like somebody who didn't know exactly what was going to happen. And then you guys ultimately bring him back. Why was he a priority, and what does he have left to kind of continue that growth, because we've seen it over?
Well, that's you hit the last word you said is growth. That's we've seen some growth from him. We need to see even more consistent now. It's got, because what the role he could be in this year is one of those starter roles, and so that consistency is going to be important for us. AJ's always gotten off to a good start, and now it's about saying, hey, how does he maintain that through the course of a season? A, staying healthy, and then B, producing at that level. We've seen the flashes, and that's what gets you excited. Now bringing him back, it's a chance for him to continue to grow.
Sean, tell us about Connor McGovern's transition to center and why you guys are comfortable with him being able to do that.
Well, he's played it. He's got it in his background. Not a ton, but he's done it before. So we'll see where it goes. You know, Connor's been a great addition to our team. Bringing David Edwards back was important because of, number one, what he brought to our team a year ago, plus potentially with the Mitch and Connor situation. We lose Mitch, we got to move Connor over. David steps into that role. And, David was a great addition to our team, not just on the field but off the field. And his role last year, very unselfish in his approach. And you saw him. He was the jumbo tight end one play. Then he was coming into the game as a guard. And just a great addition in terms of the overall package, player, person, family. It was great to get him back.
Sean, I cover the Bears in Chicago. With Eric Washington, what about his personality do you think might help him connect with the guys there?
Well, Eric's going to do a great job. He did a great job with us. He and I worked together in Carolina as well. So he's got a great family, comes from great pedigree, Rod Marinelli pedigree, and he's coached at a very high level. You know, we went to a Super Bowl together, and he had a large hand in helping us get there.
How would you assess your wide receiver room now that Gabe has moved on and you bring in Curtis? Where do you think it stands right now?
In terms of?
Do you need more there? I know you always talk about the importance of explosive plays and rack. I mean, from just a body standpoint, I know you need more there. But do you like the skill set? Is there something that you're maybe missing in there?
No, I like the skill set. I'm confident of the guys in that room, all of the guys in that room. I like the addition of Curtis. Like I said, the speed element, you know, and we're going to miss Gabe, and we wish Gabe well. He had a huge impact on our team, our organization, made some huge plays for us, and, you know, wish him the best. And that said, you know, with the number of the different guys we've gotten there, I mean, really, you can almost add Dalton and Dawson in there as well to that kind of that bucket of room right there with those guys. And hey, being able to block, right, being smart, being tough, having now the speed in there in particular, and what Curtis brings to the table. So there's the biggest thing is, hey, do you know your role? Do you understand your role? Do you embrace your role? All that's important when you're trying to say, hey, yeah, we want to throw it, but we also need to run the football. And some of what comes with running the football is blocking the run game as well.
You lost Deontay and Naheem. Is a return, it's a guy with an ability to return, something you guys might need to look at as you have player acquisition here?
We're aware of it, yeah, I would say, Sal. You know, when you look at the kickoff rule, if that goes through, you know, you're going to need someone to occupy that spot or maybe more than one. So that is a personnel consideration for sure.
Hey, Sean, Terrell Dotson the last couple of years.
Yeah, man, love just watching him grow. Again, never want to lose a player like TD or T Dot, we call him. It's one of the joys of coaching when you watch a player come in and go through the journeys of a young career, right, where he's not playing as much early, and he worked his tail off to get himself to where he was playing and made a big time impact on our season this past year. And he worked his tail off to get there. So super happy for him, super excited for him and his family. He earned it. He really did, and I'm excited for the Seahawks in terms of they got a good football player.
Hey, Sean, I think he touched the ball more than he touched his entire college career. And I know you kind of like with running backs, you just run them through. You have them for 4 years and you just get what you can. But do you have to be mindful of his touches this year, or do you want him to just keep going until you don't have them anymore?
Well, no, I think you've always got to, because of the durability factor, let's call it, of the running back position overall, I think you've got to be aware of his touches. Both on the high end and the low end, right? So he had a heck of a second season for us. I know he's committed to working his tail off this offseason to get himself ready to go and improve on that season that he had a year ago. So, and that's important for us. I mean, the element of split safety defenses and the ability or the importance of having the ability to run the football and penetrate the defense in a two-shell look is big now, and making people miss, breaking tackles. I think that's important for us moving forward.
Sean, we talked about Trey a little bit earlier, but I just want to ask you more about him because he goes back to the beginning, and when you've talked about him over the years, the love you have for him, I mean, it comes out. You don't have to take us the details of the conversation, but what was that conversation like when you talk to him maybe and tell him what was going on?
Oh, man. Emotional, right? Because it's kind of like you can't believe it's what we're discussing. And, you know eventually it's going to come just because of the lifespan of an NFL player, but it came way too early in my mind, right? And I'm sure in his mind as well. It's to me, it's tragic in some ways because of the injuries. And had not the injuries occurred, who knows where his time in Buffalo would have taken him and us. I think he's one of the best defensive backs to ever play in Buffalo. I really believe that. He's all class all the time, and he works his tail off. and he's one of the best human beings I know, from what he came from and how he's not only lifted himself up but lifted his family up, and the way he's lifted our team up over the years. It's just, to me, a very unfortunate situation with the injuries. And anyway, it's, yeah, sorry to, you know, it's sad to see him go. It really is. Him and his family. I mean, he got injured in the Miami game. A number of us went over to his house after the game, and what do you say, right? I mean, having, especially after he had just went through it the year before, what do you say? And there's nothing you can say other than just try and be there for him. And that's how I felt when we were having our conversation was, you know, it's a surreal moment.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.